You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto, and we are glad you are joining us this fine Thursday as DottoTech. We're completely settled into the Thursday routine now, aren't we, Art Factora?
Oui. Bonjour.
Why the French?
I'm actually practicing because I'm heading off to Montreal on Saturday with the Best of Food and Wine show.
Really?
Yes. Where have you taken me, Steve?
I've taken you into the Apple fanboy universe.
I know. You've made me poorer, and you've kept me locked into the studio in Vancouver.
Yes.
The Food and Wine show has taken me to Montreal.
That is awesome sauce.
Yeah.
I love Montreal. Probably my favorite city in Vancouver to visit.
Probably your favorite city.
In Canada, I mean, to visit. Oh, my brain.
I've never been before, and I'm very excited.
You've never been? No. Oh, now how long are you guys going for?
We're leaving Saturday. We'll be back on Tuesday. So we've got 4 days, and apparently they've locked down some tickets. So we're going to go to the Canadiens game.
Le Pendillon. Les Abatons.
Yes. Against the Sharks.
Which might be the best team in the hockey right now. So that's good. Of course, you can tune into Dan Russell Sports Talk later to hear all of the sports news, not just Steve's opinion on it. But I think the Sharks are the best team in hockey right now.
They are tight.
Yes, 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 indeed. Well, I've been busy, too. I've been on the road a lot. I was in Whistler last week for our fine, fine sponsor, London Drugs. They have their thing called an RTG, which is their retail technology group. They have a conference. You know, this is the thing that sets London Drugs apart from, I think, everybody else, is the commitment they have to training their staff. Now, we hear it every week when we have Julian or whoever on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We know how trained their people are. But they actually take 7 people out of each store, bring them to Whistler, and for a week, they bring in every vendor, and they train the heck out of these guys on all of the products coming up. And these guys are just bleary-eyed. They're in hour-long sessions, vendor after vendor after vendor, getting everything explained to them from the wireless networking world through to what's happening in big-screen TVs and home entertainment systems through to the newest cameras and compact systems, all of it. And it's just, it was bewildering. Now, they brought me in because I'm hosting some of their thing, their LDTV on YouTube, where they actually take advantage of these vendors being in town, and they do little 2-minute product interviews. So I did something like 65 2-minute interviews with different product managers and stuff about all of their different products, and which made my head spin. But it was an awesome week in Whistler. We stayed at the Chateau Whistler, which is
holy.
It's not a bad gig. You know, it's not bad.
I really enjoy walking into London Drugs. Usually, it's because I need to get some like soap. Or something. It's a snack. But then I'm always drawn towards the computer section
or the audio.
And it's amazing because you go there for laundry soap and you realize that you can buy an Apple. You can walk home with an Apple TV.
Now you've got a 4K TV coming out with it. You know, I saw for the first time with my own eyes the 4K TVs, these super high definition 4,000 or 4 billion pixels, whatever the resolution is. Both Sony and Panasonic and I think Samsung, all 3 of them showed 4K TVs. They brought them into our studios. They set them up. Stunning. I think this is the last generation of TV.
Before you can actually walk into a TV and be part of the action?
Well, the last time you're going to look at one and say, oh yeah, I see that's better. Because now we're getting to the point where the pixels, once we get smaller pixels than this, your eyes can't resolve it. Like this is the crossing point with these 4K TVs. Now they're really expensive. They're not priced for the average person yet. But when they come down in price, oh my gosh, there will be, don't get too attached to that plasma or that LCD TV in your house. You're gonna make a change. You know, I mean, when you're watching hockey and you can read the numbers, the names on the back of the guys' jerseys with the long shot. That's what we're talking about as far as resolution. It's staggering. It's staggering. It's like going from standard definition to high def. It's the next leap ahead. The other interesting thing that was going on in this show was the trends. You know, we'll be talking about wireless AC, the new standard in Wi-Fi. That'll be part of our show coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll do that. But the other big trend are these sound bars. Have you seen them?
Instead of just getting a whole stereo system,
yeah.
You just have like a like it's a sort of a tubular that sits underneath the
bar
TV.
Bar that sits underneath or right in front of the bezel of your TV. Yeah, yeah, those, everybody had one of those. They're all priced around $500 and they all sound amazing. We listened to the one from Klipsch, and that was the one that kind of impressed me the most. But the, you know, the Onkyo and Samsung, they all had these sound bars, and that seems to be. And when you think about setting up your home theater system, it's so much easier to set up, you know, with a single bar like that.
It's a plug and play.
Yeah.
And then, you can just, I'm sure there's a docking system where you just drop your cell phone in. You know, your cell phone's already got, you know, 800, 1,000, 2,000 songs.
To heck with that. They're all Bluetooth now. You just stream from your phone.
Yes,
that's the way that they're all set up now is streaming straight through to them. We should fill people in on what we have coming up on the show today. We're going to be talking, I've been on the road. The other thing I was on the road for is I've been doing social media boot camp, which is a social media workshop that is hosted by the guys from Social Media Camp in Victoria. So we just did one in Victoria last week, and we're doing them upcoming camps or upcoming boot camps in Kelowna, Kamloops, Nanaimo. So we're going to talk to the guys about that so people can find out what to expect from that. We also have Jillian Shaw joining us to talk about the Apple's announcement. You and I haven't even talked about it. Are you lusting after any of the new Apple gear, Art?
I think I'm good for now. I've got my my MacBook Pro, my laptop.
Are you ignoring it because you're kind of your head's in the sand? Because if you'd waited a month, you could have got the Retina for pretty much the same price.
No, I'm okay.
You're cool with it.
I'm good. I think I got a decent
showing a remarkable amount of maturity, Factora.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
well
you.
Played. Well played. I actually believe you, even though I know deep in your heart of hearts that you should have waited a week.
Regret is for fools.
Regret is for fools. That's right. And we also have, of course, Julian Saunders joining us. And we're going to talk the other side, because with Apple's announcement, Apple just stole Microsoft's thunder yesterday. Apple made their announcement with all of their new iPads. The same day, Microsoft released Windows 8.1 and their new tablets. And so Microsoft went, who? Who? And so Julian is going to tell us who, and he's going to fill us in on the Microsoft tablet. So that should all be good. So all in all, I think you are in the place you want to be. Tuned in to Dottotech. I'm Steve Dotto. We'll be back.
Brought to you in part by Dottotech. Is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Except maybe
nobody
you.
Does it better. Except maybe you.
Joining me online now from Victoria, two of my friends, Paul Holmes and Chris Birch. How are you two doing?
Awesome, Steve. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Now, Paul and Chris are the founders, and they run Social Media Camp, which I attended for the first time this past year in Victoria, and it was a great success. Really enjoyed it. And you guys have also launched a smaller series, kind of a series of boot camps called Social Media Boot Camps. They run in the fall, and you've got this phenomenal lineup of speakers that are participating. Now, the first one was in Victoria last week. You've got upcoming events in Nanaimo, Kamloops, and Kelowna. Tell us about your awesome speakers.
Well, you know, there is the world famous Steve Dotto speaking at every event.
So good heavens, really? I hear he's difficult to book. How did you ever manage that?
We pulled a small miracle off. And, you know. We have you're right, Steve, and hopefully you had a chance to see some of the other sessions. We have some really great speakers. Melanie Dodaro, who is one of the certainly Canada's number one LinkedIn expert, mm-hmm. and certainly one of the top 10 in North America. She speaks all over the globe, and she's going to be joining us in Kamloops. In Nanaimo, we have Don Power, who wrote Twitter for Skeptics,
mm-hmm.
and a very entertaining speaker, as well as joining us at all of our locations. We're excited to have Sean Smith, who is known as That Social Media Guy, and he's kind of an up-and-coming speaker, but a very entertaining, very informative guy as well.
Sean has a really nice take on Twitter. And actually, both Sean and Don have a really great take on Twitter in your community as opposed to growing your market in your brand worldwide or nationwide. They both use it very effectively within their communities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Sean is also really well-connected globally as well. He's part of a Twitter hashtag called Us Guys, and they... they chat regularly all over, and they're people from all over North America, LA, you know, and I think sort of around the world as well. So he, you know, he's actually got a really great perspective on how Twitter can be used, not just growing your own community, but also, you know, connecting with some unique individuals globally as well. So it's so he's a bright guy, and we're excited to join him. And then Chris and I will be rounding out the speakers as well. So
what are you guys talking about? I didn't catch your talks in, or did you speak in Victoria?
Chris spoke in Victoria.
I was busy sitting out in the. I was busy sitting out in the. What did you call the cafe area where you visited with people?
The Knowledge Cafe.
The Knowledge Cafe, which
imparting your knowledge.
I was actually. You know what? And the thing is, a social media. I think I learn as much as I impart when I do these events, because it's such a moving target, and there's so many different areas and so many different disciplines that I learn a lot. That's one of the things I really enjoy about the engagement and being part of it, and why I get a little bit more excited about this than a typical talk. Is I go there and I, you know, it opens my eyes to a whole bunch of new things. So what were you talking about, Chris?
Well, I was talking about strategy, which I'll touch on in a minute, but I just wanted to kind of take off on what you were talking about there, because it sounds like it's really networking is what you're talking about. And that's when we do the surveys, the post-event surveys, which we just did for Victoria, the feedback that we always get is that the networking and the collaboration and people that met each other was just as valuable to them as was you know, what they learned in the session, and that's I think what you were just talking about. So we get that feedback all the time as well. So that's why we try to create the event such that people have the opportunity to meet each other and network and get to know people in person that they sometimes only know online.
And they are full day. They are. Talk to us about your about the strategy session that you do first.
Yeah, so that's really my forte. Is I generally always speak about social media strategy, and so it's nice end of the day, because it pulls together some of the previous sessions where people like yourself were talking about very hands-on practical applications of YouTube, in other cases Twitter, Facebook, and so on, and then I try to wrap it all together, and I don't talk about any tool specifically, but really about social media strategy and how people can use any tool to effectively grow their business through the communication, the engagement, but then also very importantly, you know, just setting objectives, things like that, knowing why they're doing this and what they want to achieve, and how they're going to determine whether they've achieved it or not. So what metrics to set, what tools to have in place to measure it, and then who's going to manage it, how they're going to manage it, and so on. So at a kind of a higher level strategically, what are they going to gain from this?
Now, and Paul, what are you speaking on?
Well, my talks are primarily 101 talks. I'm not as immersed as Chris is. You know, I'm sort of one of the organizers, but really, you know, for me, it's getting people engaged and it kind of explaining why they need to get engaged, because a lot of people are sent to these events and, you know, they might not sort of know what, you know, what sort of outcomes they're looking for. And, you know, we just, you know, my talk really wraps up why it's so critical to be on social media and, you know, really tying that into the whole notion of customer service and the whole notion of marketing, because you can't have those things in a silo anymore, and people need to really engage, you know, their clients and the people they're connecting with in a very new way. And still a lot of people who haven't, you know, sort of taken that leap. Mm-hmm. And that's been my area of focus, is really drawing those people in and bringing them up to speed so that they can appreciate an advanced session like Chris's, hopefully by the time he comes up to the plate.
And these are called boot camps, so they are designed to give a range for, and if you are a kind of a rank beginner or fairly new into the whole social media space, this is a great opportunity for you to kind of start at the baseline. Now, more advanced, as I was saying earlier, I think even more advanced people do get a lot out of it, but is your primary market people that are kind of just taking their first steps into social media?
Well, what we found with Social Media Camp, because Social Media Camp is the largest social media conference in Canada every year. We're coming up to our fifth year in May. And what we found was we had a very broad spectrum of people attending, people who were, you know, literally knew very little right up to the very advanced talks. And, you know, we have flexibility over a three-day schedule to reach all of those people. But we found there was definitely a need where people, you know, needed a more of a primer.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we did it the first year, that was really the objective was, you know, to get people who hadn't engaged with social media to give them a bit of a baseline so that when they come to a conference like Social Media Camp, they have a basic understanding and can really take it to the next level at that event. And so that was the initial objective. What we found now, of course, as the years have been going on, is we're getting a more of a mix. And so we're trying to give a bit more variety, you know, cover some more advanced topics within the boot camps themselves as well. And so there's no way somebody's going to come to one of these events at an intermediate or beginner level and not take something really valuable away.
I'm speaking with Paul Holmes and Chris Burge, the founders of Social Media Camp in Victoria, and we're talking about a series of boot camps that are running through Western Canada fall of 2013, which I am participating in and speaking at. And I wrote a whole new talk for you guys and delivered it for the first time this past week in Victoria. I was a little bit nervous about it, actually. It was on YouTube, which we've had a lot of success with growing our YouTube channel here. And the talk was very focused on practical tools. I actually didn't. You guys were asking for the slides for my presentation, for everybody's presentation. Well, I think I had two slides, and then I was into demo mode where I was actually diving right into YouTube and all of the settings. And the feedback I got from the attendees was that they really enjoyed the kind of the pulling back the curtain and seeing exactly how we build and how we grow and how we apply the different tools and kind of apply the whole philosophy of social media against the actual tools and the stories that we're telling. So I was pretty pleased with how it all came together. I'm really excited about giving the talk again now in Nanaimo. Although, typically speaking, I'll just warn you guys, when you have success the first time you give a talk, the second time it usually falls flat on its face. So I'm expecting a little bit of coming back to earth come Nanaimo on, I think it's this coming Monday, right? In Nanaimo on the 28th.
That's right. Well, I think the flip side of that is that you've given that talk once now, and so you probably have the opportunity to feel even for yourself where things maybe slow down or where you need to cut some stuff or add some stuff based on the feedback and then polish it up and make it even better.
Oh, fine. You want me to do more work on it now?
I can tell you, if you don't mind me saying, that I'm actually looking at the results of the feedback survey that we do after all of our events right now, and one of the questions we ask is, which speaker or presentation do you rate the highest? And happy to say that Steve Dotto got the highest rating, so he had 50% of all of the people that actually responded to the survey chose you as the highest rated speaker. So indeed, and all the anecdotal feedback as well was really
I appreciate that. It was Art, thank you, Art. I'm humbled by that. I am looking forward to, you were mentioning Melanie Dodaro speaking. She's been a guest on the show, and for the people that are going to be attending in, it's Kamloops that she's doing, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, which is on November the 16th at Thompson Rivers University. I am looking forward to hearing her speak because she came on our show, and I think we did 35 minutes or so with Melanie, and it flew by in like 15 as far as I was concerned. I couldn't believe how much time. She was just a continual stream of valuable information about LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about Melanie is she's really, you know, she's really entering the A-list of social media speakers. And so for a community the size of Kamloops to be able to bring in a speaker of that caliber, you know, for an event, a smallish event compared to, you know, a 700 person social media camp, for example, is quite a coup. So we were really excited that she was available and willing to work with us on that because it's not every day that you know, a smaller community will get that
get an opportunity to have some of that. So yeah. Let's give them the details. Is the easiest place for them to find information just at socialmediacamp.ca?
That's the best.
And there you can find registration. They're using Eventbrite for registration, so it's nice and easy to register. The dates, just to let people know, are October 28th, this coming Monday in Nanaimo. Then the following Saturday November 2 weeks later, on the Saturday, November 16th, we're in Kamloops. And then we're going to hang around in the Caribou for a little while, or in the interior for a little while. And on the 20th, we are doing Kelowna. So I am looking forward to that, and also seeing what all the other speakers have to say.
And Steve, do you mind if I say a couple of words about Kelowna as well?
Sure.
Because it's a bit of a unique opportunity there, and even if people are not from the Kelowna area, it's something they might want to have a look at, because the morning session is actually, they had their first annual Mobile Revolution show last year, all about mobile technologies, sort of where everything's going with mobile, sessions on the cloud, integrating traditional media, these sorts of sessions. And so that's happening in the morning, and that's being produced by Czech Creative, which is the original company that produced that last year. And then we're going in the afternoon. So it's going to be a full day with Social Media Bootcamp in the afternoon and the Mobile Revolution show in the morning. And so it's something pretty unique that you might not even find in a larger city. So we're really excited about that opportunity in Cologne as well.
Good stuff. So that's the final stop on the tour. Paul Holmes and Chris Burge are with me. The once again, the website to go to if you are interested, and we'd love to see you out, is socialmediacamp.ca. Guys, we'll see you on Monday in the Nanaimo.
Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us.
Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs.
Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
And joining me online now from the newsroom is Gillian Shaw of the Vancouver Sun. How are you doing, Ms. Shaw?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah?
Very well, Steve. Lots going on in the tech world.
It is, and there's always lots going on in the tech world. I was just thinking as we were queuing you up today, I think we've known each other for over 20 years. How long have you been writing tech?
Oh, my God, that ages us. Well, I know the first computer you had, Steve, and honestly, like, I date back to, I'm 100 years old, I date back to, like, the bulletin board days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, BBMs.
Bulletin boards?
Yes, I remember those. Yeah, I absolutely remember those, where you'd log in with the 1200 baud modem, as you logged in.
Yeah, exactly. And the computers that, weighed the size of a house.
Yeah.
They had less power than the phone that I'm talking to you on now. Way less power.
Less power than the watch you're wearing.
Exactly.
Now
I got the new Samsung watch.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I didn't see you at the Samsung event. I guess you were. Did they do a private screening for you to show you the new Galaxy stuff?
I actually have the new Galaxy and trying it out.
Do you like it?
Well, it's interesting. I actually like it. I love the wearable technology.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, right now it's just attached to the Samsung Galaxy S phone and their new Note. So remains to be seen, how many people are going to buy into it. But if you're in that Samsung kind of garden, particular garden,
they are building their own ecosystem now, aren't they?
Exactly.
You know what? Here's what impressed me about this last Samsung announcement. We're going to get to the Apple stuff in a minute for all the Apple fanboys out there waiting, which Art is like yawning as I'm talking Samsung right now. What impressed me is the Samsung Note, when their humongous phone. When we first saw it, it was like cool form factor, but it really didn't hit home. The Note 2 had some great features, actually ended up having some fans, but still wasn't a home run. Mm-hmm. The Note 3 is a home run, I think. It's an awesome phone. And actually, it would be my first choice for phone if I was going out and buying a phone today myself, just because they've really figured out that pen interface, and it works. But the product development, from cool form factor, we really don't know how people are going to use it, to we're kind of getting our hands on it, to the third generation, which is, here's a really great product. I think we're going to see that same cycle coming from Samsung. Very different from Apple's, here's how it is, right out of the box, we're going to tell you how to use it. Samsung reacts to their users using things, and they just keep, they just keep putting out revisions of a product until it hits home.
Exactly, yeah. Steve. And I've just been writing the ever-expanding guide to buying a tablet, which, of course, this week has expanded, even more.
Yeah, doubly, yes. Yeah.
And others. And just Samsung is its own little one-stop shop all by itself.
It is.
Back over to Apple, because we don't want Art to fall asleep completely.
Yes, yes. So were you impressed? Apple yesterday had their big announcement, their big fall, just before their big post phone fall announcement, which was all about tablets and computers. And so the big news, so what was the big news that, we'll go over all of the stories, but what was the big news for you? What resonated with Jillian?
Well, the thing is, you know, Steve, Apple really is losing its grip, its iron grip on the tablet market. So this, I think their tablet announcements were pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
What they did with the new tablet, the new iPad Air, and then the iPad Mini, which, no big surprise, has a Retina display. But perhaps they should have done that a little earlier before the Google's Nexus 7 took a whole lot of that little 7-inch tablet market with a display that was better than the
their HD displays. Yes, yeah,
exactly. So they, you know, that it, I think their tablet announcements were the most interesting to me. You know, I like that their MacBook Pro, their notebook computers come in with a slightly lower price tag, although mm-hmm. we're still paying more than in the U.S. They dropped like $100. And I don't know a lot of people who are buying the, you know, humongous, powerful Mac Pro desktop computer, but if you got $3,000 and you want those down on your
That's
table,
what I want. That's the thing that I want. Well, let's back up a bit and let's talk about the iPad announcement. And you know what? I think Apple, for the first time in their tablet experience, were second movers on almost every front with the iPad 2, with the new iPad, sorry, the iPad Airs. Yes, they're lighter. Yes, they are. But as you say, they should have had this out a little bit earlier, because everybody's kind of already had the wow factor of seeing the Nexus tablets come to the market.
Exactly. You know, Apple, because of its reputation and just because it's Apple, people love Apple. But I'm sure that those new tablets will fly out the door, especially the Mini in the holiday season. I can see a lot of people buying them.
Yeah, I like that one. I do like that one, yeah.
There's a lot more, and I was waiting for the Mini to have a Retina display. And in fact, I advised everybody I knew who said they were going to buy a Mini, just wait, don't buy it until it has a Retina display. But, you know, Apple is slipping. I mean, there was really no tablet market, Steve, until Apple came into the game with its iPad. And it's hard to believe that was only a little over 3 years ago. That was in 2010, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they've not only, so they own the market, and now everybody else is coming in. And for the first time in this year, in the latest, this quarter, Android tablets are going to exceed Apple tablets or iOS tablets in shipments. So it kind of looks like Apple's share, you know, market share is slipping. Their grip on the market is certainly loosening. And exactly, as you say, they needed to innovate and come out with things that were new and ahead of everybody. Instead, this is almost a bit of a catch-up. I mean, the Apple iPad Air is really nice, very, very lightweight, a pound, making it the lightest tablet on the market right now. It is 43% thinner than the one that replaces, the iPad it replaces, but it's still, Sony has a tablet, its Sony Z tablet, the comparable one in the same size, is even skinnier. So Apple's not, you know, they're making much of this. I don't know that it's, you know, as hotly innovative as they might like us to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other than the Retina display, you know, a slightly faster processor, slightly longer battery, but lighter. I mean, that was the big thing, is it's lighter.
Exactly.
And you know, okay, that's nice, and it does make it more appealing as an ebook reader and some other things, but it's just, you know, it just, they didn't exactly turn my crank. Now, if we move on and talk about their computers, which in a lot of cases, people who use Mac computers have felt kind of that they're second-class citizens with Apple lately, because they've been far more excited about putting out new iPhones and new iPads than they have about revving the computer lineup. This was actually a fairly significant, the last one when they announced the Mac Pro, but now that we have a shipping date for the Mac Pro and we have a price for the Mac Pro, and we can see, you know, we can kind of, we're that close to seeing the Mac Pro running, and we're starting to understand its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time. But man, oh man, you know, I'm still a kind of a hardware guy, and if you could give me one piece of gear that Apple showed this week, I want that Mac Pro. It's a whisper quiet, massively powerful, fairly funky looking garbage can.
But, well, you know, that's you, Steve, and a lot of people. I mean, if you're in an office or you're sitting, you know, you need that kind of power out of your computer. But of course, I mean, the ones I'd be looking at, I have to say, well, it was a $200 price drop actually in the MacBook Pro with Retina display, the 13-inch one.
Yeah,
which is good for people because if you're in that Apple ecosystem, and you want the notebook computer, the MacBook Pro is pretty good, and it's now $1,350 in Canada
for the Retina version, and that is a pretty appealing price for the entry level with the Retina screen. Now, have you played with the Retina screen yourself? Do you like using the Retina screen?
I do. I'm completely spoiled by the Retina screen, Steve. I don't know. What do you find? I just don't want to go back to a non-Retina screen.
You know, I've still got
notice a difference.
Yeah, I've still got the older MacBook Pro, the 13-inch, which I use. And my only concern is, well, I guess, and it's a completely unfounded concern, is I like to have my fonts bigger on screen now these days because I don't read as well. My eyes don't work as well. And so in the native mode, it kind of squeezes things down a little bit too small for me. But I know they've got settings that you can increase the size of the font globally on the system. So that's the only, you know, my only negative against it is that one. But yeah, the what impressed me is that the resolution of the screen obviously is something, but they've really paid attention to usability and battery life, portability. They've addressed those issues big time with the Haswell chips and the fact that they've really tweaked the operating system to maximize the amount of battery life you can get. And they're saying up to maybe 9 hours out of some of these notebooks.
Which is huge. I mean, that's why we carry, like, sometimes that's why I carry a tablet for working, because, you know, the laptop just doesn't have enough power. It'll cut out, and it's not, well, the first time it's happened, Steve, it'll cut out right in the middle of a press conference or some other, when I'm on deadline, really, you know,
the
nowhere near power.
The worst possible time, yeah.
Yeah, so that power, and I mean, for people who travel, you get on a plane, you know, it's really helpful to be able to, you know, not be lugging your cord out and charging up every chance you can.
Well, that 9 hour of battery life on the notebook is pretty much the equivalent of what we saw out of the best of the tablets when they first came out.
It is. And in fact, it's very close to what the tablets, you know, some of the tablet specs when they're, you know, when they're running full on with Wi-Fi, it, you know, that's not that far off.
Yeah, and now if only they'd pay attention and give us even close to that battery life with our phones, we'd be way ahead of the game.
Well, don't get me started on the iPhone and the latest upgrade. Am I the only one? I hear this every Apple iOS upgrade, but my phone, it's liable to cut out on you any time. Now, I'm talking on my iPhone, Steve, and the battery life just keeps shrinking.
Yes, it's... Well, have you looked at? Have you opened that Samsung Galaxy the Note 3 that you have? Have you looked at the size of the battery in the back?
Yeah,
the battery in that is the size of your iPhone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it needs to be too, because that uses up a lot of power.
Yeah. So the winners for you for Apple as far as hardware goes this week is the MacBook Pros. You're smitten by the new 13-inch. Retina display, and that's what Jillian wants to be carrying around
that's
in her bag.
What I would like for on my holiday gift list, just in case anybody's listening, Steve.
There you go. Now, Apple also did several announcements around software. Did anything jump out? OS X Mavericks. Oh, it is significant. They've decided that from now on, operating system upgrades, free.
Free. Now, that's a first.
Yes.
That is a first. I mean, we kind of like, you know, bypassed all that with all the hardware announcements, but for the first time, what is it, you know, they're not selling the operating system, they're giving it away.
Yes. Now, the price has been diminishing on it as we go along, but that's a pretty profound shift. When we used to, you know, back in the day, we would spend a couple of $100 on a new version of an operating system to have it go free. Is this the impact that Google and Chrome are having on and Android are having on the marketplace, where the operating system is now so ubiquitous that it has to be free?
Yeah. The question is, you know, how can you compete with free, right, mm-hmm. Steve? So that, you know, the Apple users and how Apple has to look at that. If you know, they're not going to want to shell out for a new operating system, or every time Apple comes out with a new operating system, when there are alternatives that cost them nothing.
And when you stop and think about it, when you buy the challenge of the operating system, of selling a new operating system, is the early adopters take it on the chin twice. They would pay for it. They would also have to go through the teething pains of all the things that Apple didn't anticipate that are broken, because Apple can't test everything. So you've got a brother printer that Apple didn't know about and didn't build for, and so all of a sudden you've bought the new operating system for 29 or 19 or whatever. You've spent the time downloading it, you've installed it, and now all of a sudden your productivity might suffer for an hour, a day, a week, and you have to spend cycles figuring it out, filing a report, waiting for Apple to fix it, finding the patch, downloading the patch. You know, we always paid a price, and so I think that's kind of the hidden cost of all of this upgrading is the lost productivity that we would find ourselves.
Well, that's it, and people are become reluctant to upgrade,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
You know, when a new operating system comes along, more and more people just kind of stand back on the sidelines and say, "Well, we're going to wait and see how this one turns out."
Excuse me, sorry. When they announced it yesterday that it's free and available now, what was your first thought, Jillian?
Well, I didn't download it.
Me neither.
I have to say, I was busy doing other things on deadline, but it wasn't actually enough for me to say, I have to do that right now.
When I heard him, I was in the middle of doing a couple of things, because I typically just run their press conference in a window and kind of semi pay attention. When I saw it was free, my thought process was this. Oh, cool. Wait a minute. What have I got on the docket for today? What do I have for tomorrow? What happens if something goes wrong? What work do I have to deliver before the end of this week? Nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. What's the cost of doing the upgrade? And, of course, you know, we just came from the iOS upgrade, a few weeks ago, and some people are still mad about that. So I'm kind of upgrade averse here right now, and just a lot of people saying that. Oh, we'll just get around to it. We'll get around to it when we get around to it.
Yeah. Jillian, thanks for this. Hey, you know what? I didn't tell you that we should talk about this before we started, but I'm thinking this is a great time because we're getting into October. We're just about November, only a couple of weeks away from Christmas. Could you just give us a few words about the work that you guys do with the sun and the schools for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. We're just, in fact, I have a meeting later on this afternoon about that, Steve. We have our Adopt a School program where we've, thanks to our readers and the generosity of people in Greater Vancouver and all points around British Columbia, are helping to feed kids who would otherwise be going to school hungry. They're helping to, you know, get clothes and winter boots and all kinds of things for some of our the most impoverished children that you'd be surprised to find, Steve, that maybe kids going to a school just down the street from you.
That's the kind of the dark secret in Vancouver. We don't think we have poverty in our inner cities, but you guys have found it, and that's what this program is all about.
Exactly. The Vancouver Sun Children's Fund launched this program, Adopt a School, a couple of years ago, and it was an answer to a teacher, Carrie Gelson, who told us about kids coming to school hungry, kids coming to school with, you know, no winter coats, with shoes with holes in them in the middle of winter. And, you know, we went into those schools, and Carrie is right. And those teachers, I have to say, the teachers and principals in those inner city schools, they're the real heroes. They do as much as they can, and what they do goes far above and beyond their job of teaching, and they do it to try to help make a better life for these kids.
And you folks, so the Adopt a School program, you can find information at the Sun. Now's the time to think about it, because come Christmas, you're distributing stuff. You guys are in full giving mode. So collecting, getting support from the community, that's what you guys need to concentrate on over the next couple of months.
Yeah, and we have a website at vansunkidsfund.ca, and we'll update what we're doing there.
Thank you so much for this, Jillian. I know you had to cram us in between deadlines and meetings, and I certainly appreciate it. And I'm glad your battery's all held out. That is awesome.
Great chatting, Steve.
Good stuff. That's Jillian Shaw of the Vancouver Sun. You can find her at the Vancouver Sun.
I'm Steve Dottotech.
I'm doing just great.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Been offline for a little while dealing with personal issues. You lost your dad, Jillian. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, we lost him suddenly. It was a shocker, that's for sure. Always take a moment to hug everybody
every day because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, we're friends on Facebook, and you've done a wonderful job of honoring his memory on Facebook, and I can tell you guys had a great relationship, and his memory will live on. So so our thoughts are with you as, you know, that's one of the things we all face, you know, all of us. I lost mine a few years ago. Perart lost his mom a couple of weeks ago. So it's not a good part of this part of the aging process, is it?
Not at all. No, I don't expect anybody to go through it easily.
No. Well, we're not supposed to.
No.
Now, we finally got the opportunity to meet face-to-face last week.
Yeah, we got some, you know, we had got to hang out at a couple of places in Whistler.
Yes.
It was fun. Yeah,
so London Drugs held their annual retail group conference where they bring a whole bunch of people from all of the different stores and all of their vendors together for a big week of training, which is one of the things that really differentiates London Drugs from, I think, everybody else, is their commitment to training their staff. And so we were all at the Chateau Whistler, which wasn't bad digs to be training in. And you guys sat through day after day for 4 days of vendor training on product after product after product. Your head must have been spinning.
Well, you kind of get used to the rapid fire style. After a while, it becomes just another day. It's really interesting, though, because we get to hear about all of the products coming out, not just for the Christmas season, but also for early next year. So we even get nice little nuggets to pass on to our customers for the whole the next 6 months. It's really exciting. So for us nerds, it doesn't really feel like a normal day at work because it's just so much stuff that we love. We get all the access, too, so yeah. We can ask our vendors anything. I know I save up a couple of gems of questions for people just to make sure I can test them to see if they're a good rep for the company or not.
And it was a bit of a thrill for you on their awards night. You won one of the major awards. London Drugs recognizes their staff's excellence, and you won the Entrepreneur of the Year award. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's always good to be recognized in front of our peers. We also had a couple very long-term managers honored, like Ron from Victoria. He won Manager of the Year. So if you are in Victoria, you go see Ron and give him a high five.
I've met him. He's a good man. And and in the socializing time, I had one of the all-time disturbing experiences of my life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Your doppelganger, maybe?
People call him a doppelganger. This rather tall fellow came up to me, who's an employee, we won't say which store he's at, and gleefully informed me that he dressed up as me one Halloween. I don't know what is restraining order worthy in Canada, but I was reaching for the cell phone to call my representation, because that was a bit weirding out for me.
Well, and he was in school at the time, and everybody knew that he dressed up as you. He didn't even have to tell anybody. That's how close he was.
There we go. That was again a little too close to home, and one of the strange ones. But a nice young man, now a dad of his own, so I'm sure he's responsible. I don't have to worry too much. And no, you can't. I don't believe London Drugs is stocking this Halloween the Steve Dotto dress up gig or rig.
Not yet. No. Stay tuned next year.
Maybe next year. It does. The mind does boggle. Hey Julian, we should be talking a little bit technology. We shouldn't just be gossiping here. You guys are starting to carry what I think is one of the way cool products on the planet, the Square payment system.
Yeah, it's. I've always thought this is going to change the way that small businesses work. It's a payment method that you can put in your pocket and take with you anywhere. It's a little reader. Square is a company that started off in the U.S. and they're making their growth into Canada now, and it basically is a little tiny credit card reader that you connect to your Android or iPhone.
And you just connect it to the audio jack.
Right. Yeah, and it just pops out the top of your audio jack, and it's only $10 to get you onto the system, and then you can accept credit card payments from wherever you are. If you have a cell phone service, you can accept payments. It's completely revolutionary for small businesses. Even little vendors on the street can accept credit cards now without having to set up a big contract or go to the bank and
yeah, it's
do
not
a bunch
setting
of
up all
fancy
the,
signups.
All the merchant account stuff. Now, I set this up during the summertime. I got a Square Reader, set it up. The enrollment process for logging in and setting it up and tying them into your bank is only minutes. It takes a day or so for all of the registrations to go through because they have to send a sample payment and stuff like that, and you have to confirm it. But it's so easy to do. It's way easier. Back in the day, I set up a merchant account once. That was a lot of work. This is not a lot of work. Then you just plug this thing into your phone, and you can swipe a card. And the cool thing is if you use like the iPad or the Android tablet app, is you can set up an inventory. So if you're a street vendor, maybe you just work the fairs, the street fairs that many communities have, and you sell jam or something, you can set up an inventory and have them as inventory items and have all the pricing already done and even keep track of your stock through it.
And there's a few web-based accounting systems, one from QuickBooks and one from Money.com. They both let you tie in your inventory to sales, so you can even have your right after your payment, you can have that into your forecast and see how your business is doing with reporting.
Now, they do charge you a little bit more than the standard, than if you had a full-on merchant account. But not egregiously so. It's a 2.75% of the total fee is taken per swipe, but they don't hold your money very long. They deposit it the next day.
Yeah, and it's if you have to manually enter, it's 3.5%. So it's really worth your while to get the swiping accessory for your phone because it'll save you too.
And then they do a very cool thing. They use the touch screen of your phone and let people sign with their finger. The signature, and then the very next screen, typically how you have it set up, is for receipt. The people enter their own email address. So you hand them the tablet or your phone, and let them enter their own email address. So you don't have to worry about anything, and then they're emailed a receipt right away.
Yep, and it doesn't save any of the information in the device. It's all just kept on the Square server, so it's all encrypted and safe and secure.
And anywhere you have mobile access or Wi-Fi access, you can take payments.
And they also promise very good security with insurance. So I wouldn't worry about anybody concerned with getting data through the air because it's an encrypted pipe that it opens up between Square and the device. So it's not like any information, including the signature and email address, are floating around open in a Wi-Fi network for somebody to grab. It's very, very locked down and very secure.
So coming soon to a garage sale near you.
Exactly. Well, and think about it. Even if you run a sports club that you have to collect fees,
yes,
and you don't want to have a complicated system set up, you're tired of doing checks and did I deposit that? Oh, this one bounced. This can be a great solution for you to just swipe and go without having to sign a contract or anything. You just use it when you need it.
That's right. Anywhere that there's a credit card. If you're accepting donations at a event, people don't always have cash. It's okay. I can take a credit card here.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't do debit, but it does do Visa, MasterCard, and American Express.
That's right. And so that Square Reader is now available at London Drugs. It's, what, $10, as you said?
You got it, yeah.
And then the setup and sign-up is dead simple. If you want to check it out, drop by your local London Drugs. We're one of their fine staff, not as good a staff as Julian, who, and you might go into an award, you might go into a place with award-winning staff, you never know. Or you might go into a place that has a Steve doppelganger as well. Julian, thanks so much for your time, and happy tax time there in Saskatchewan.
Thanks to you two out there in Vancouver.
Thanks, that's Julian Saunders from London Drugs.
I am pretty sure that will go down in the annals of Dottotex as a spectacular show.
One of the best Thursday shows, for sure.
Yeah, well, it was three. Although, I still tell people about the first of the app Thursdays with Isaac on and that Run P app. That thing, for listeners that don't know, last week on the show, our winning app Thursday, app Thursday still, I hate
weird.
The name. It does. We got to work on that. But Isaac Kendall came on, and he just came on strong with an app called Run P, which you start when you start watching a movie in the movie theater, and then it buzzes and vibrates when boring parts are coming up so you can run and pee. And while you're in the can, it texts you the main plot points that are happening so you miss nothing. It is awesome.
That
see, you're still bitter
app, because that app probably was the single most problem with people dropping their phones in the toilet.
I've done that.
Yeah, exactly. I bet you this app has created a whole army of those people.
You're just jealous.
Well, yes.
Because it's been 6 months or so since you've won.
I'm okay with that because I've been training. No, I've been training.
You got new draft picks?
At least three or four that I believe could easily win first place.
Okay. Now, I have one last question for you today, Art Factoria. How many emails are in your inbox right now?
Well, because of you, I've deleted a whole bunch of them, but I would say somewhere still, with all of my email accounts combined, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 5,000-6,000.
Okay. On Tuesday, the 29th, so before we do our next show, you're going to be in Montreal. The rest of the world is going to, I'm hoping, is going to check out my Three Steps to Inbox Zero, the second webinar that I'm delivering. It's on Tuesday morning. You can come to dottotech.com, sign up. It's a free one-hour webinar where I teach people to become master of their inbox, overcome the email dragon, which is causing tremendous stress in people's lives. It's causing us to make mistakes. It is email overload is an epidemic, and I have the solution.
It also costs businesses money because you're
huge money.
If you're sending pictures or getting pictures sent to your email box, and that's sitting there for months, it's just a bunch of space that's being used unnecessarily.
Even more important is just the amount of stress that email it creates when you miss important messages, so much pressure just is generated out of the email inbox, that getting control of it is I don't mean to make it sound bigger than it is, but it can be life-changing. We've got emails from people that are saying, you know what, for the first time in my life, I come into work in the morning and I'm not stressed before I sit down. Because I know that there's nothing lurking in my email inbox. I've got control of it. It's empowering. I'm really proud of how Three Steps to Inbox Zero has taken hold. We've put almost 1,000 people through the program up to this point. They love it. So here's a chance. And what I'm doing with the course this time is I'm doing a new version of the webinar with some better new stuff. And if you decide to sign up for the course that comes afterwards, I'm going to be leading it as opposed to self-directed. It's going to be led by Steve. I'm going to be there each week delivering the three steps to Inbox Zero. So drop by dottotech.com. Check it out. Sign up. I will see you all on the 29th. And Art, I will see you when you get back from Montreal.
I will tell you all about it.
You have a great safe trip with the Food and Wine Show. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks so much for tuning in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.